Good afternoon, everybody. We've been speaking the last couple of days about Hamivazves, Alivazves, Yoser Mechomash. So I just want to point out one thing before we go further, and that is I received an email from someone in Eretz Yisrael who very correctly pointed out that he disagreed with what I said last week. And he's correct. If I came off making a mistake, let me just make it clear that no one else makes the mistake. I mentioned at the end of the shiur last week that there were many gedolim that we mentioned stories about who felt that it was worthwhile for them to violate this Aveira, quote-unquote, of Hamavazvez, Alivazvez, Yosef Mechomesh, and it was worth going to Gehenna for that. This person pointed out very correctly that if it's going to make the family suffer as a result of your Midas Chasidus, because you want to be a big tzaddik and give all your money away, and because of that your family is starving, and because of that you don't have a proper lifestyle, obviously that is not something that is expected by the Torah, obviously that is not something a person should do. I thought it was clear that when I made mention of these stories, we were talking about people who were living on a very different kind of madrega than most regular people live, and therefore the rules are a little bit different for them, and their children understand. I mentioned him in the email that my father, for one, we grew up in his house, and we continue to be inspired by how much he gives of his time, of his energy, of his effort, which for a normal person would be considered unreasonable. The amount of energy that my father exerts for everybody else doesn't make any sense. Most people would never give that much time or energy for anybody. But my father is somebody who is willing to give that for other people, and we never felt slighted by the fact that he does so. We were actually very honored and continue to be very proud of all the work that he does. So again, I mentioned to this person that I think as much as he is correct in pointing out that a person should never do such a thing, but if you have me from those elite individuals, in every generation we have such people who do live life a little bit differently than many others, maybe the rules will be a little bit different, but obviously for most regular people, which is most of us, I would imagine that is an inappropriate kind of allocation of funds, and to make the family suffer is probably not a good idea. So I mentioned to him that I would point it out. If anyone had the wrong impression, I'm sorry, but those stories I think are very powerful stories regardless. Just to give us a little bit of a context of how important chesed is and how much many gedolim over the generations went to the extreme to show how much they want to exert energy in the area of tzedakah and chesed. So we have a pasuk that we read every day in Kriya Shema, V'haftas Hashem Elokecha, v'chal levavcha, v'chal nafshecha, v'chal meodecha. Chazal say in the pasuk here that we learn something very important. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Dalet, why do we have to say b'chal nafshecha and b'chal meodecha? If we're told b'chal nafshecha, obviously that includes all of our money also. If it means I have to give up my life, obviously I have to give up my money as well. So the Gemara says, well, we're addressing two different types of people. Some people appreciate life more than they appreciate money, which is the normal way, and some people appreciate money more than they appreciate life. And therefore the Gemara says the pasuk here is addressing both of them. If you're the kind of person that appreciates life more than you appreciate money, the Torah is coming to tell you not only do you have to give up your money for the mitzvahs, but you have to give up your life as well for the mitzvah. If you're the kind of person that appreciates your money more than your life, the Torah is coming to teach you that not only do you have to give up your life for the Torah, but you also have to give up your money for the Torah. So here, the Gemara teaches us a very important principle from the Kriya Shema that we read every day. However, the Gemara says this is limited to the Aveira of Avodah Zarah. We are not expected to give up our life and our money for any other Aveira other than Avodah Zarah. That's what the Gemara says, and that is what some Rishonim assume is the Halacha, that the only time a person has to spend all of their money is when they are being forced to serve Avodah Zarah. Unless they give up all their money, then they have to give up all the money. But let's say somebody is forcing them to violate a different Aveira, which is not connected at all with the Aveira of Avodah Zarah. There are many Rishonim who are of the opinion that we do not extend the Halacha, and we assume that it is limited only to the Aveira of Avodah Zarah. However, this is... Okay, so that the Shalosh Aveiros Chamuras, and Avodah Zarah is what the Gemara is describing, because we're told, V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha v'chal levavcha, that's talking about Avas Hashem, as opposed to going and getting involved in other Avodah Zarah. So this is the way some Rishonim, a minority opinion of Rishonim, assume l'halacha. However, the Rama says that the rule goes as follows. The Rama says when it comes to performing a mitzvah saseh, we assume that a person has to spend up to chomesh, up to a fifth of his assets, in order to be able to perform that. So for example, I live in Europe, and I happen to live at a time where there's no commerce going back and forth, and there is no dalad minim available this year. How much money do I have to spend? How much energy do I have to exert to make sure that I will provide myself with a set of dalad minim for this sukkah? Answer is, up to a fifth of my money. More than that is considered unreasonable. That's the rule that the Ramah gives. However, says the Ramah, when it comes to the violation of any Aveira in the Torah, not only limited to Avodah Zarah, Gilei Ra'is, and Shvichas Damim, when it comes to any Aveira in the Torah, the Ramah says a person has an obligation to give up all of their money, kol hon beso, in order not to violate any Aveira in the Torah. The Vilna Gaon then extends that and he says, not only do we assume that that applies to any Aveira in the Torah, that applies also to a person who might come to violate an Aveira midrabanan. Let's say there are many Xeris on Shabbos which are only midrabanan. Says the Vilna Gaon, you have to be willing to give up all of your money, kol hon beso, not to violate an Aveira midrabanan as well. The same way that the Ramah paskins, a person would have to give up all of their money, not to violate an Aveira d'Araisa. So the question is, why is there a distinction between an Aveira and a mitzvah? Why should we assume that when it comes to an Aveira, a person has to be willing to give up all their money, to sacrifice everything they have not to violate, whereas to perform a mitzvah, we don't assume that a person has to go that extreme, a person doesn't have to go that far. Why shouldn't the rules be the same? And this is subject to a major discussion in the Achronim. So the Prima Gadim writes as follows. The Prima Gadim says, well, you don't really draw the line of distinction between a mitzvah and an Aveira per se. Rather, says the Prima Gadim, you draw the line between something that you violate bekumba aseh and something that you perform or violate b'sheva al taseh. Therefore, says the Prima Gadim, since most Aveiras that we violate in an active way, we violate being engaged in some activity that we're doing that we're not supposed to do, that's the way we violate the Aveira. Therefore, the Ramah says, for anything of that nature, you have to spend all of your money. But a mitzvah or Aveira, says the Prima Gadim, that I would violate or perform just passively, in a case like that, says the Prima Gadim, a person doesn't have to give up all of their money. So the general way that we understand kumba aseh and sheva al taseh is when you do a mitzvah, you're doing something actively. When you're abstaining from an Aveira, you are only being passive. Says the Prima Gadim, that's why the Ramah just puts it simply, and he says, for any mitzvah, you only have to spend a fifth. For any Aveira, you have to give up kol hon beso, you have to be willing to give up all your money. However, says the Prima Gadim, what if I gave you a case where you had a Aveira that you only violated passively? For example, what if a person has chametz in their house on Pesach that they do not get rid of before Pesach begins? So you violate an Aveira, it's an Aveira chamura, it's a very important Aveira, however, you are not actively doing anything. It's just because you did not go ahead and make sure to get rid of it. The Prima Gadim, in a case like that, maybe a person would not have to give up kol hon beso to get rid of it. So take, for example, let's say I own a house out in the Caribbeans, and it's going to cost me, it's a bad example, because if you own a house in the Caribbeans, you probably have enough money to get there to get rid of your chametz. But let's say I'm going to have to blow out all of my money to go get rid of the chametz that's in my house in the Caribbeans. Let's say I bought the fancy house, I have chametz all over the house, now I lost all my money. Pesach comes around, I cleaned out my house in New York, and I realize that I have chametz sitting around in my other house in the Caribbean. So what do I do? How much money am I obligated to spend to go and get rid of that chametz? Says the Prima Gadim. Well, if you read the Ramah very simply on the basic level, the Ramah would tell you that kol hon beso, you have to give up all of your money not to violate an Aveira. Says the Prima Gadim, not correct. Not correct, because the Ramah doesn't mean to say that to save yourself from violating any Aveira, you have to give up all of your money. Rather, the Ramah means to say that whenever I'm actively violating an Aveira, I have to go ahead and give up all my money. But over here, in a case where Bayura Bayimatze would be violated only passively, the Prima Gadim argues that I would not have to give up all of my money for that. This is an idea that the Prima Gadim doesn't only say on his own. The Chasam Sofer there on Shulchan Aruch also says the same idea. So for example, the idea that he suggests is, let's say we have an Aveira that you're not allowed to leave Kachim over further than this man. You bring a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, there's a limited amount of time you're allowed to eat it. After that, we assume lo sosirum menorah boker, not allowed to leave it over till the morning. But eish yisrofu, you have to burn it. You're not allowed to leave it over past the time when you're supposed to eat it. So the Chasam Sofer says, how much money do I have to be willing to invest not to violate the Aveira of nosar, not to violate the Aveira of lo sosirum menorah boker? Well, yes, I'm violating an Aveira, but it's an Aveira that happens in violation passively. I don't do anything to violate the Aveira. I just happen to leave over the meat from the carbon past the official's man of how long it's supposed to be here. So therefore, says the Chasam Sofer, maybe in a case like that, although I'm violating an Aveira, maybe I don't have to be willing to give up all of my money to save myself from that Aveira, because again, it's not something that I'm violating actively. So this is the idea that the Prima Gadim gives, this is the idea that the Chasam Sofer suggests, where they take the Ramah a little bit out of context, and they explain that the Ramah didn't really mean to say what you thought he said. However, There are Achronim who disagree with that. The Rivash disagrees very vehemently, and he assumes that no, the Ramah is to be taken literally. For any Avera, doesn't matter what the nature of the Avera is, for any Avera in the Torah, we assume a person has to be willing to give up kol hon beso, not to violate it, all of their money. When it comes to a mitzvah, to observing any mitzvah in the Torah, regardless of if it's a passive mitzvah or an active mitzvah, we assume a person would only have to be willing to give up chomesh, only a fifth of their assets, and not anything more than that. So that's a very important machlokas, as we'll see tomorrow. It's something that has very far-reaching consequences with regard to other halachas as well, which we'll talk about in the future. An interesting chiddush that's suggested by the Maharam Shik, and in order to really fully appreciate what his chiddush is, let's first mention the fundamental idea that the Avnei Nezer suggests. The Avnei Nezer writes, we have mitzvahs that are ben adam lachavero in their nature, and we have mitzvahs that are b'makom. So generally we assume that they're all part of the same Torah, we have an obligation to do all them, and a mitzvah is a mitzvah. What's the difference? Says the Avnei Nezer, no, there's a very big difference between a mitzvah which is ben adam lachavero in its nature, and a mitzvah which is ben adam lamakom in its nature. What he suggests is the following. We have an idea that ones rachmana patri, which means, let's say a person is under anesthesia. So I just had a surgery, I'm under anesthesia, I'm not able to put on tefillin, I'm not able to daven, I'm not able to do certain mitzvahs. The Torah says, ones rachmana patri, since it was not your fault, you weren't able to do the mitzvah, so the Torah doesn't hold you accountable for not putting on tefillin that day. The Torah does not hold you accountable for not eating matzah if you're in a state of not being able to. That's what we assume. However, says the Avnei Nezer, perhaps that principle only applies when you're dealing with a mitzvah shebein adam lamakum. It's between you and God. Putting on tefillin, shaking the lulav, blowing the shofar. You weren't able to do it, God says it's okay. I don't mind, it's okay. I expected you to do it. Some unforeseen circumstance came up where you weren't able to do it. It's okay, onus rachmana patri. However, says the Avnei Nezer, when it comes to a mitzvah shebein adam lachavero, let's say you were supposed to come and be mesameach me at my wedding. I wanted you to come. It would have added a great dimension to the wedding. And for some reason, you weren't able to. Not because you didn't want to, but you did want to. But in the end of the day, you weren't able to. In a case like that, says the Avnei Nezer, you don't get points. Because when it comes to a mitzvah, shebein adam lachaveiro, the bottom line was the result accomplished? Was the goal accomplished? What was the outcome? Were you mesameach me at my wedding? Did you give me the tzedakah? Did you make sure to do for me what you were supposed to do? In the end of the day, if you didn't do that, so then you get no points at all. That's the suggestion of the Avnei Nezer. This is why the Ran writes in the end of Maseches Sanhedrin as well. What if you know a person who violates an Avera inattentively, a person who has no idea haphazardly you're violating an Avera, let's say you go and eat a sandwich, you have no idea that it's chazer, you have no idea that it's treif, you have no idea it's not kosher, you're not going to be punished for that. That's the halacha. However, we find one exception to the rule. Why is it that a horeg b'shogeg, somebody who's sitting and chopping wood in the middle of the forest, and all of a sudden, inadvertently, his axe goes and flies and kills somebody else, why do I have to go to gullus? What did I do wrong? That's like mesasik. That's somebody who does something haphazardly, inadvertently. I have no idea that I'm doing something wrong. I have no idea it's going to harm or damage somebody else, if certainly not to take away his life. Why do I have to go to the ir mikla? What did I do wrong? Says the Ran, the reason why is because that's a ben adam lachavero. You're right. If you go and you chazer, that's between you and God. God is willing to let it go. However, when it's ben adam lachavero, we care about the result, the totzah. What is the outcome? In the end of the day, because of something that you did, somebody else was damaged, somebody else was killed, we assume you are held accountable, you're responsible for that. And the same goes in the opposite direction. If you try to do something to someone and you end up not being able to do it, you get no points at all, because ben adam lachavero is all about the result, it's all about the outcome. And based on that understanding, the distinction between ben adam lachavero and ben adam lamakom, there's a major difference in the nature of the mitzvah. The nature of the mitzvah ben adam lamakom is you have to try to do whatever you can. If you don't end up doing it, so you don't end up doing it, God is willing to let it go. Onus rachmana patri. But by ben adam lachavero, you have to go until the outcome is reached. Based on that idea, the Maharam Shik is mechadish as follows. Even though we say that for all mitzvahs in the Torah, a person only has to spend up to a fifth of their assets, because more than that is unreasonable, that's only with regard to mitzvah shebein adam lamakum. To buy a lulav, to buy an esrog, to buy a shofar, to buy tzitzis, all these things, up to a fifth of your assets, more than that, God says, onos rachmana patri. I didn't expect you to spend so much money. You weren't able to do the mitzvah, so you weren't able to do it. However, says the Maharam Shik, when it comes to a mitzvah shebein adam lachavero, perhaps he suggests a person has to be willing to give kol hon beso. You have to be willing to give everything. Why? Because if the mitzvah, the nature of the mitzvah, shebein adam lachavera, is that I have to bring about the desired outcome, I have to bring about the result, And until I reach that result, I don't have points for the mitzvah, argues the Maram Shig, maybe a person has to go way above and beyond for a mitzvah shemin adam l'chavero, more so than a mitzvah shemin adam l'makom, which I found to be a very interesting idea. We have a Gemara along the same lines. We have a Gemara in Baba Basra. The Gemara there is discussing different aspects of tzedakah. So the Gemara there says that Yirmiyah says, l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Navi Yirmiyah says that there are some times when people give tzedakah, but unfortunately they're tricked, they're fooled. They give it to the wrong purposes, they give it to the wrong causes, they give it to people who are not really aniyim. And therefore, says the Navi Yirmiyah, we get punished twice. We get punished, number one, for not giving tzedakah, and we get punished, number two, for giving tzedakah to the wrong people. So you need a mazel to be able to give tzedakah to the right person, to somebody who really isn't ani. So the Mefarshim already asked, how can it be that if I want to give tzedakah, I'm a multimillionaire, I give millions of dollars to tzedakah every year, I just happen to choose the wrong causes. I give it to causes that are not really in need. I give it to people who aren't really aniyim. Says the Navi Yirmiyah, you're going to be punished. Why? Don't we know the Gemara says, Chishev lasos mitzvah benenas. What if I wanted to do a mitzvah with all my heart and I try as hard as I can? And nenas, in the end of the day, something went wrong and I wasn't able to fulfill it. The Ribbono Shel Olam considers it as if ki'ilu aso, as if I did it myself. So if that's the rule, how come my tzedakah, that's not the rule as well? I'm a multimillionaire, I set aside millions of dollars a year to tzedakah. Happens to be something turns out in the end of the day that I didn't do it properly because the person who asked for the money wasn't really in need, this person wasn't really in ani, that cause wasn't really in need. Why should I be held accountable for that? How come I don't get the schar anyway? Because chishav lasos mitzvah venenas, harehu ki'ilu aso. So the Achronim answered, and the reason why is because when you're talking about the mitzvah of tzedakah, there we're describing a mitzvah that is ben adam l'chaveru. In the end of the day, God looks, did you bring about the desired outcome? Did the person who needs the money get the money in the end? No. So it doesn't matter how much you had altruistic intention, it doesn't matter how much you wanted to give tzedakah. In the end of the day, if you didn't get the tzedakah to the intended person, you get no points at all. Whereas, if you wanted to put on tefillin today, and then you had a hatzalah call, then you had to run to a meeting, something, and then you weren't able to do the mitzvah, that's something that God says you're not held accountable for. But when it comes to Bein Adam L'Chavero, what's important is the outcome, what's important is the result, and until we reach the result, we get no points at all. Finally, this is what the Kli Chemda suggests as well. The Kli Chemda is a sefer on Chumash, a beautiful sefer where he writes in Parshas Vayechi. Yosef tells his brothers, Atem chashavtem l'ra, Elokim chashav l'tova. I know you had horrible intentions for me, but don't worry about it because God in the end of the day worked it out. God made it that this was the way we were all able to save ourselves. You sold me to Mitzrayim, I was able to sustain all of you, and we took care of the Jewish people. So the Achronim ask, how come that works? What do you mean? How come they're punished? Don't you know that even if a person sometimes has bad intentions, you want some sort of horrible outcome, even if a good outcome ends up coming out, but in the end of the day, your intention was terrible. So why is it that Yosef says, don't worry, you got a pass on this one, because in the end of the day, it worked out okay. What? Who cares in the end of the day it worked out okay? You had horrible intentions for your brother. Why is that overlooked? Why do we assume that that's okay? You wanted to sell your brother, you wanted him to suffer, you didn't want a good intention to come out of it. What does it matter that God ended up making sure that everything worked out okay? The answer that some Achronim write is, no, because over there we're talking about Bein Adam L'Chaveru. You did something terrible to your brother, and you had all the horrible intentions, but, a great outcome came about because of it. Something very positive came about because of it. Therefore, when it comes to Bein Adam L'Chaveru, perhaps, the rules are a little bit different. It's not the same as everything else. When it comes to Bein Adam L'Chaveru, the desired outcome is what's necessary. Until you reach that goal, until you get to that outcome, you have nothing at all. And the same works in the other direction, says the Kli Chemda. You had horrible intentions for your brother Yosef. You wanted him to suffer. You wanted him to die. You wanted to sell him to Mitzrayim. However, since the desired outcome didn't come about, since the outcome that came about was a positive one, therefore you don't get punished for it. That's the suggestion of the Kli Chemda. And again, what we see from all this is that perhaps there's room to distinguish between something which is a mitzvah shebein adam l'chaveru and something which is a mitzvah shebein adam l'makom. When it comes to bein adam l'makom, we assume chishev lasos mitzvah benenas ba. If a person wants to do a mitzvah, their intention is in the right place, then we assume you get points even if you don't end up fulfilling the mitzvah. However, when it comes to bein adam l'chaveru, until you get to the desired outcome, we assume you get no points at all, no schar at all, because bein adam l'chaveru is all about the consequence, it's all about the result, it's all about the outcome, and until you reach that goal, you really have nothing at all.